We got plenty of signal there. So as long as it's bouncing.
So I hit play.
Yep.
And then stop and eject.
Yep.
Play, stop, eject.
And then slip it in your envelope there.
I guess we need to stop it.
No. Don't want to stop it.
Well, it's still recording.
Oh, it was supposed to be paused.
Do we have any citizen communications?
No.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I so moved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Who made the second?
The minutes are approved. So the first new business that we have is Roger and Ingrid's petition requirement working group.
Jeff.
And Jeff.
Oh, and Jeff.
Yes. So I will just launch into this. We are bringing you all basically a couple of ideas, and they're fairly skeletal at this point. We're still looking for some direction. And I have to say, although we attached a lot of sources, ordinances, and charters and things from other jurisdictions, we frankly did not find what other jurisdictions had done terribly useful in our recommendations. A lot of this came in terms of the petitions, a lot of it really came from reviewing what the Indy Texans petition is that's being circulated and just making some revisions to it that the subcommittee felt like would make it better. And then in terms of recall, it's really just the ideas of the subcommittee. It's based on some of our own ideas, some of the things that we've all read individually, trying to kind of get at the issue of how to make a recall from a specific council district is really what we were focusing on, just slightly more difficult than it is under the current existing law, so that process can't be abused, as I think we kind of felt that it probably has been in the past. So that's, with that background, I'll just kind of launch into where we are. And again, on some of these things, we're really looking for ideas as much as anything. We do favor the idea of amending the charter to allow time to repeal ordinances after they go into effect, which is currently not allowed under the charter. And that's been, you know, pointed out in a lot of the materials that are out there, that the current charter, although theoretically allows ordinances to be repealed, the fact that they're all being made effective immediately essentially eliminates that
Does
right.
Does any other city in Texas have such a provision?
That
you looked at?
Not that we looked at.
Okay. So this is an anomaly.
It is.
Okay.
No minimum number of requesters would be required under our idea, so one person could initiate this process.
Sure.
The petition that's being circulated requires five. We're not quite sure what the reason is for that, because quite frankly, the hurdle is getting the number of signatures that you need to repeal and it would be the same as the existing charter requirement we're proposing, which would be 10% or 20,000 signatures, which is basically effectively what we're at, is 20,000 for the repeal to be effective. We wanted to make it clear that the ordinance continues to be in effect. It's not suspended during the time that all of this process is going on. And then we were actually looking for a process whereby your notice of intention to repeal is filed with the city clerk, and then you have, and we were looking at in the range of 90 or 120 days from the ordinance effective date. We really felt like the full 180 days that's in the petition that's being circulated is a little bit too long for an ordinance to be kind of in limbo as to whether it's going to continue to be the law or not. And so if there's enough gumption out there to repeal something that the council has passed, enough, you know, organized or felt opposition to it, that 90 or 120 days ought to be long enough, although we're really looking for input from the commission on how long that period ought to be. Not speaking for the subcommittee, I personally would be fine if we want to keep it to 180 just to be consistent with everything else that's in the charter, but I don't have really strong feelings about that. It just sort of felt like 180 was too long.
That's good, sort of fun question.
Sure.
So what we're saying, just to be sure, is that you need to get 10% or 2,000 signatures.
It's effectively 20,000.
Whichever is less.
Whichever is less.
I
and
guess
it's effectively 20,000 in Austin. Yeah.
Right, okay, that's my question.
Yeah.
So, But that would be within this window that you're talking about.
Correct, right.
Well, my only thing is, if you don't mind me interrupting yours.
No, that's all right, that's pretty well covered.
It is a lot of, it's someone, I've never done a recall, okay?
But we're not talking about a recall yet.
I've never done a referendum, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Because they haven't been around. But 90 or 120 days is short unless you have a buck who's money. Okay? And so the question is, you know, well, for example, if you have any bad weather, it takes people a while to get started. You know, I prefer longer rather than shorter, but I understand.
Well,
I mean, whatever we have, it'd be better than that.
The current requirement for, you know, is 180 days for this sort of thing, so.
My other questions, but that's, I thought that was, the signatures were valid for 180 days. It wasn't so much that you started this window, then you have 180 days, you make it or not. It's that after 180 days, any signatures you have roll off the books.
Roll off, that's true. And so that effectively gives you 180 days.
Well, but you could take 7 months if your first month is slow.
That's true.
And then you have 6 months or fast.
It's a rolling starting date.
Yeah, it's rolling, absolutely.
Well, I mean, we can go with that if you want to.
I'm with the first impulse, though. That's 6 months, that just so allow one person who doesn't like this ordinance to come. I'm starting a petition drive for the next 6 months. That ordinance is hanging there, operational, but with people going, well, this is maybe going to get repealed or cut back. And we're not going to invest resources into, you know, whatever it takes to make this. It's a long time. And if it's sort of egregious, then it shouldn't be a successful petition drive.
Well, I understand, except for one thing. I mean, I don't know about referendums. Over the years, we have not had many petition initiatives.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows it's really hard.
Well, and this is.
Or they don't know, they'll know soon after they start.
And you're correct, Fred. Even though this is a repeal, it is effectively a petition. So, I mean, it's got the same difficulties, theoretically.
But there's nothing to ensure that the person who starts this petition drive is even rational. Don Zimmerman could oppose every single ordinance that the council puts up.
Well, that's true, but it. That's true, but it's not easy.
I know it's not easy to get the signatures.
No, I think what Jeff is saying is we shouldn't have the rolling. We should have, you say you're going to start, and then you have 6 months to get it, which I think.
Well,
I mean, that
would be one thing for sure.
But I think that makes sense to do that for something like this. But I'm also wondering if it should be, because if we say this is what we're going to do for a repeal, but if you're trying to recall a council member, if you're trying to override the ordinance, like to term limits, it seems like they should be consistent. And in this situation, I think you have 6 months and that's it. But in other situations, it seems like the rolling makes more sense.
But it's two different situations. In one, you're overturning something that the council did. In the second case, in a recall case, you're overturning the will of the voters, or you're trying to, which is a different animal to me. It's not just a simple policy question. This is people voted in, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the recall should be harder, but making this a 6 month window, we're making it harder than it would be if it was rolling. If it's rolling, then you have more flexibility. And I think there are situations where you should have more flexibility, such as.
Well, sure, the rolling.
But the rolling
would make this.
The petition people initiate the timeline. This is initiated by the ordinance.
By the effective date. Yeah.
Right, the ordinance. So it's a. The problem with this is
that.
That
makes sense.
You see, it's set by the ordinance as opposed to the outside forces. And that's why I think they say 180 days. Because that way they could start like 2 years and then do 180 days.
Well,
no, that makes
sense. I'm fine with sticking with 180 days just for consistency's sake if we want to do that. The committee just needs, or the subcommittee just needs direction, so.
Anybody else? You're for 180.
Well, if we're going to say you have to get 20,000 signatures, you're not going to do that in 90 days, no matter what it is.
Unless you have an unbelievable.
A And that's just really just will be 20,900.
That's 222 a day.
Slow work. Including Sundays and holidays.
It's 222.2.
Point 2.
If you just did 222, you're gonna fall.
Well, it's not only 22.2, but you have to get overage because of the validity problem. It's a pain in the rear.
And over 108 days, that's 111.
Yes.
Is there any sort of timeframe for filing the notice of intention to repeal? Or is the only timeframe the 180 days within the effective date?
The thought was that you have to get the signature within however many days of the effective date. So you would want to file your notice fairly quickly.
Oh, in other words, you can't start your petition referendum until you file the notice?
You have to file the notice.
Well, that's an incentive to get it done.
Yeah, right.
I kind of like the idea of having some sort of notice or starting.
We sort of felt like there should be some sort of notice to the city that someone's trying to do this.
No, I think it's a great idea.
It is. I just think there's some. I mean, if you're here, I agree with you.
I think it's a great
situations
idea.
Where
can we require?
Yeah, you can require notice.
Notice.
There would be.
Is there already like available forms somewhere that?
Well, we could create it, but I mean, I think it's probably the same as you would use for an initiative or referendum.
The courts aren't going to nitpick it.
Yeah,
they're going to be very loosey goosey on it.
So I have another clear point. So for the effective date, so let's say council passes something, but it doesn't go into effect for 3 months, like a lot of times. So would it be so? But you're saying it, you wouldn't be able to start until the effective date, or would it be something that you could start petitioning on once they pass their reading or whatever it is when the ordinance is passed?
Well, I wasn't thinking about delayed effective dates because the practice hasn't been to do that.
Do they not do that ever?
No.
Occasionally they do.
But typically not.
Typically not.
But
the restrictions on Uber thing.
That's
they had
right.
Sort of rolling
right.
Provisions.
But the
point,
effective date is the date that the ordinance is really an ordinance in effect. I mean, before that, it's received a vote of council, but it's not in effect. Its provisions can't be enforced and so forth.
Can't go to court, I guess. Maybe you can in advance on it. That's an interesting problem.
Yeah,
so
well,
how often, how if they do delay it, I mean, if they make the ordinance effective date long, how longer than whatever they usually do, how long is it usually, 90 days or?
It hasn't been done very often. It was done on
the last one
Transportation Networks, and that was a 6 month. And there was a proposal on another one, not special events, but something else with a delayed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not statutorily set, but there's normally council regards there being a rational reason for delaying it, such as you know, putting processes
and
in place or hiring staff or
and they also do sometimes emergency passages, which shorten the effective date.
Well, we could do third reading or effective date, whichever is earlier. That would solve it.
Okay.
And so anytime after the ordinance comes into effect, you can file a petition too.
Right, but you have to get the repeal signatures within whatever number of days, and it sounds like we're moving back toward 180, but however many days.
But it's fair.
Huh? What?
Seems fair to me, but what we
It does.
Yeah.
It does seem fair.
But 90 days?
No, he's
otherwise, everybody's in limbo if they did something really offensive, but it didn't take effect for 90 days, then you can't even start your petition drive.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
And
that's
I think third reading makes a lot of sense or the effective. I guess it'll always be third reading, but whatever.
Yeah, it would be.
The ordinance can't go into effect till third reading.
I'm trying to get a read. The folks that have spoken have said they sort of would like to see 180 days for this, but I'm kind of trying to get a feel for when we bring back an actual proposed language, if that's what we want.
I think 120. Okay, so 180, that's like forever. No?
Is that 6 months?
people lose interest, they forget they signed. I mean, I've had that happen. People forget they've signed. So then they change their minds and then you get all complicated.
Well, you can withdraw, you can withdraw your signature.
You can?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you remember you signed.
Well, that's a different problem. But I know you can withdraw it because I know the provision.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often. So you have 120 down here.
Mm-hmm. I kind of
well,
feel like
there was
a 120, 180 person.
He's a 120, 180.
I am a 120.
I mean, 90 seems just,
yeah,
you
you're
can't
right.
do it in 90
it's
days.
True.
I kind of understand that. And 120 is on the
four
edge
months,
of that.
No?
But
4 months.
Yeah, I agree.
You have 20,000 signatures. Is an awful lot of signatures to get.
And you actually have to get about 26 because
yeah.
of people
yeah.
aren't registered or you can't read their names.
The city.
I mean, 5,000 signatures a month.
Yeah,
a lot of
work.
Well, it sounds like we may just need to bring it back with this space blank.
Energy.
We got a range.
Yeah, this is an extreme
remedy.
I
mean,
it's an extreme remedy reserved for extreme situations where there's going to be a lot of motion, whatever it is.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
the reality is that I mean, if it was simple
yeah.
and it was happening all the time, I mean,
right.
I can imagine it happening all the time, and then I can also imagine what that does to the structure of governance in Austin if everything is constantly being brought
yeah.
back to a.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is even if everybody in the city or 90% of the city is outraged and they want to sign a petition, it's still going to take 4 months to actually go out and collect
yeah.
20,000
mm-hmm.
signatures.
Yeah.
If I went to every single door. Everybody's signing. That's still 20,000. I mean,
ooh, that's
at,
a lot.
Yeah,
no, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's that the barrier that keeps this process from being abused. Is 20,000 signatures is.
I mean, this sounds kind of crazy, but I almost, if for it to be more practically effective, a lower number of signatures, but also with a shorter time window.
Well, I would agree with
would,
that.
Would almost be more feasible because it's like, you know, the issue is 20,000 is a lot to get. Well, say it was only 10,000 signatures. Well, then you can actually work with a 90-day window
there's,
and be able to do that.
I would agree that there's
that if you want to actually,
are there
option.
State statutes that determine the
well,
number of
well,
signatures?
There,
didn't we increase it?
We just increased it, yeah.
At the last
okay.
charter?
2012.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Right.
From what to what? From 10?
Wasn't it 5? Was it
5%? It was 5%.
What happened is the charter was 20,000 or 10%, right? And the initiative was 5%, which was much greater than 20,000. So you had an incentive to file a charter petition initiative instead of an ordinance initiative, which is sort of backwards. And so it was made the same. It was sort of a compromise. We'll make it the same so you don't have an incentive to go one way or another.
Because everything doesn't belong in the charter, and that's actually what
no, it doesn't actually.
You know,
but it was an incentive to put it in the charter because it was easier.
Yeah, we really want to make it easier to repeal an ordinance than to pass an initiative or a referendum. I'm not sure if we want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
don't
we're
think we're necessarily talking about the
20,000 is 5%, is less than 5% of registered voters. So you could be, I mean,
yeah.
I'm just worried about the this, you know, paralyzing of city government
yeah.
sure,
by making this too easy for people.
Sure, but let me just say this. We live in a society where people don't open their doors anymore.
Yeah.
You walk up to them and ask them to sign something, they're scared to death. So we live in a society where these sort of things are harder and harder to do than they were 25, 30 years ago.
Do you mind me asking?
Sure.
Because I know you're currently working on a petition.
Right.
And it's a very hot topic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, not everybody, even if it's 50-50, there's a lot of people that feel very strongly about this.
Right.
I mean, what kind of ability, I mean, it seems like y'all, how many signatures do y'all have to get?
20,000.
And so y'all doing it within a 6 month window or?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just.
It is a tremendous amount of work. And the issue isn't so much people opposed or not opposed. It really is what I said. People are very afraid. You can't knock on people's doors like you used to. You can't approach them like you used to.
Especially with a gun and shoot
with one. Well, that's the problem. They think you're going to shoot them.
No.
I think the 20,000.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Is a nice comp because that's a lot of people, but I think you do need time because to be able to get out to the community.
I personally think it's a hard but doable thing.
Well, it's consistent with the existing.
But it's not, you can't just willy-nilly get 20,000, so you better get your act.
We're very committed.
And I do know that this sounds probably maybe a little bit too snotty, but I do think that people need to pay attention to what city council is debating and need to get involved early. And if we make the overturn or recall too easy, you just get into this mode of, yeah, doesn't interest me, doesn't, oh, now it's in effect, now I gotta do something.
You give the wrong incentive.
It is not supposed to be easy or done off.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, 20,000 in 6 months is not easy. I think it's a very dive. And like I said, Fred's working on something where there are.
We'll bring a proposal back that reflects what we're hearing, so, yeah, all right.
Fred, what do you think your odds are you're gonna get?
You don't have to answer that if you don't want.
Good, actually. But it's bad for one's nerves, and it is a tremendous amount of work.
We have a comment.
I don't know whether this is helpful or not, but I'll just tell you extremely briefly, one of the differences with referendum is the referendum power is the power that the people have reserved to themselves. Normally, what the people do is elect, you know, they have, instead of having the power to directly legislate, they have elected representatives, and those representatives legislate, which is consonant with what you guys are talking about. So it's an extraordinary reservation that the people make to themselves to directly legislate in egregious circumstances, extreme circumstances. So the way that the commission is thinking about not making it easy and incentivizing in the right way is, it is pretty harmonious with what the really basic intent is for it.
I'm just saying, I think it should be difficult, just possible.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's possible. It's yeah.
Well, know. That's exactly right. It's difficult, but not impossible.
20,180.
All right, well, that's what we'll bring back. Yeah, and we'll clean the language up and we'll bring that back.
I promise you, that ain't going to be easy.
And let me move on to recall.
No, no, it's just 180 from third reading because.
Okay. Can we say adoption? Is that the same thing as third reading? It sounds better to me.
Well, whatever. It just wouldn't be effective date.
Adoption on third reading.
Adoption.
Yeah. Whatever.
We already move on to recall now.
Yeah.
Okay. So in our discussions on this, we felt that the primary reason for changing this, as we looked at the current requirements, is that here we are actually overturning the decision of the voters, particularly in a district, and therefore we should have somewhat higher requirements than we just discussed for an ordinance repeal.
How many registered voters are there on average in a district? I know it varies, but what is it?
I don't know on average.
Probably about 80 and 90,000.
Yeah, I think they vary wildly. David, go ahead. I'm just curious. Okay, I got the gist of it. But I got the gist of it. Okay.
So,
I can tell you real quick.
I think we have 550,000 registered voters, but it varies wildly.
So we're suggesting 20% instead of 10% for the district, and then keep the existing 10% requirement for mayor, but make it an absolute 10%, not the 10% or 20,000. You actually have to get the full 10%. And then there would have to be at least one of the following valid reasons for the recall, and those reasons
listed
actually
on the recall petition.
Listed on the petition. Mm-hmm. And the valid reasons come from the Fort Worth Charter. It was actually one of the few things that we found in another city's documents that seemed useful.
Right.
And
habitual drunkenness before?
They're basically just
more than three times a week.
A list of
everybody I know is a drunk. But anyway, go ahead.
They're a list of legally recognized crimes or conditions or things that would be grounds for a recall or removal from office, basically. I mean, that's kind of what the list comes from. It's grounds for removal from office, and it basically prevents you from circulating this just based on, you know, the basis that you don't like how some council member voted on an ordinance or something like that.
So who makes the allegation? Is it the person who is initiating the petition says
correct.
This is
the
reason?
This is
there's
the reason.
No burden of proof.
No, but they have to claim that's the reason.
You're going to have to give a reason. You can't just be, I don't like their vote.
Exactly. Yeah. can't be, we wish they voted the other way on the such and such ordinance, or.
Or they were not nice to me at a hearing.
Or they didn't smile at me.
Or they don't like parking here.
Yeah, so.
And the number of registered voters varies anywhere from about 32,000 up to 75,000.
See, that doesn't bother me, because if they only have 32,000 registered voters, getting 10% of that is gonna be really hard in a district that has that. I mean, a 20%, I mean, it's, I think that's hard, but I think not absolutely impossible if you've really made people unbelievably unhappy.
And the other idea we wanted to throw out with you, and it was just sort of an idea that we had, we didn't really find this in any other city's ordinances anywhere, was in, as Fred pointed out, if you have a PAC, some of this may already be required anyway. But is to have financial disclosures under certain circumstances for recall petitions, so that if you've got, and again, these numbers are somewhat arbitrary, but if you've got a single source contribution, and we use 30,000 just as a whole placeholder number, or a total of 100,000 spent, that there would be a financial disclosure requirement similar to what a PAC would disclose. But again, we may already be having folks having to register, and this is something that Fred and I were actually talking about before the meeting. It's possible that
it may already
this may already be covered in the
campaign. I know it is for circulating a petition. I just don't know about a recall.
So that's something we need to check. But we like the idea.
I think it was in the last recall petition that we had in Austin. I don't think there was a requirement for financial disclosure.
Well, they may not have filed it. That the people who were doing it didn't follow laws.
We like the idea of there's a single entity.
No, they really didn't.
Supporting the recall, that ought to be disclosed. That's basically what the idea we're trying to get at.
And suppose a wealthy individual decides to recall somebody.
Yeah.
Finance the whole petition.
There's not a whole lot to do.
One of the big complaints that came with the last one was, shouldn't the circulators have to live in the district? Because that was not the case in the last time. So that might be a question that you can raise.
We didn't really look at that. I'm not quite sure that I see where the circulators live as being.
I think it is.
The people who are signing it is important. I'm not sure.
I'm not going to mention any names of people in high places, but that, what if a very important, you know, person lives in one district and they don't like, you know, minorities or women, uppity women that represent another district? They can very easily have issues. Well, I don't know. You have to have specifics.
And you have to get the people who live in the district to sign the petition.
I don't know what the case law is about the residency of the petitioners. I know there's been case law. I just don't know how it came out. Do you?
I don't know off the top of my head.
But I know it's been contested.
But I'm not sure.
If you're elected from a district, it's weird to have somebody from another district try to depose you.
That's the other problem. You wouldn't even know.
I can check that. It seemed like in the fall I was running across cases about circulators residency.
Well, if you could, that would be useful for us to know.
I just know that was a question that we got asked a lot in the last.
So I guess the question that we have for you all is: do you like the? Well, there's really three questions. Do you like the 20% requirement for recall? Do you like having to have one of the valid reasons listed? And do you like the financial disclosure idea? You know, that's kind of what we're looking for here.
And the 20% being for the district level, and it stays at 10% for mayor.
I think it's reasonable, personally.
I like them. One thing, just to go back. I do like all three of those. I feel like maybe we could take habitual drunkenness out. That's just me.
I was going to add habitual weed intoxication.
I mean, if it was in the same age.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
The drunkenness isn't the word. Okay.
Habitual intoxication.
Instead of drunkenness.
Or habitual altered state of mind.
You know,
this is Fort Worth people, you know. I mean, they didn't really do that.
We were the 18
people. Well, we might have been the
candidate
that failed.
Drunkenness. We could say habitual
discrimination. We could.
I think it may not be.
I don't think it's true.
I get the point about wanting this to be initiated from
It's a generational issue.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think practically speaking, what would happen is if I want to get rid of a council member in another district, I would just have somebody else from that district be the face of it or be the one that officially signs the document and give $1 million.
Yeah.
I agree with your point, but I think the hard part, I mean, the strong part is they're making it 20% of people that live in a district.
That,
and making it a reason.
Right.
That's,
and you have to have a reason, yeah.
So can I say this about
besides, you know, being a woman.
Besides, on the disclosure, Roger, I was looking it up.
Yeah.
Under the state election code, which of course trumps everything, okay?
Right.
Is 251.001 the definitions? If you go down to the bottom, it talks about measures, okay? And measure means a question or proposal submitted in election for an expression of the voter's will, which I think is a referendum, and includes a circulation submission of a petition to determine whether a question or proposal is required to be submitted in election for expression of the voter's will. So you might look at that,
yeah,
but I think it's I think it's probably
isn't
covered.
It better to make it express though? So
oh, of course, yeah. But and you might look and see if the ethics opinions have already decided that. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's much better to just say recall.
I think it's better to call it recall.
Well, I do too.
Did we go with intoxication instead of drunkenness?
I think
we
settled
there.
Yeah. I like altered states of mind myself.
Lose people of either gender.
So the other thing is we're talking about refusal or neglect to perform duty imposed. So I guess a couple questions. Do you actually have to list that specific language? Do you have to say
no.
what it is that you're accusing?
I think there'd probably be an incentive to specifically say, but I don't know that we necessarily want to require it.
So I mean, here's the thing.
You know?
So let's say I see somebody has abstained from a couple of votes, so I feel like they're not fulfilling their duty that they were elected for, so I can follow.
Well, here's the thing. People are going to ask you.
No, that's a good point.
What is the basis for why you're saying this?
That's the whole point, to force a discussion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And to confine it.
Because right now it's just sign it, I want them recalled.
Right. Yeah.
I don't like
I mean, you're
going to
list one of these things or we're going to ask you, well, okay, what was it? You know.
Yeah.
And they're going to mutter a lot. Or lie.
They will lie.
Yeah.
And we know that's true.
But at least there then can be a debate about whether it actually is true or not. Yeah.
I actually like that provision of forcing you to state what your grounds are.
Well, I just think the concept that we're going to recall people that have been duly elected because somebody doesn't like how they voted is
insane.
Yeah, we don't need that going on.
No,
so
it's bad.
The question was, is there a time
frame?
Which
is
not,
like a rolling 6 month.
It's whatever is in the current provision, and I don't know that it's even addressed in the current provision. But if we need to, say that it's the rolling 6 months, we can say it's the rolling 6 months.
Isn't it 180 days in state law?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's state law.
Is it state law?
Oh, it is.
Okay. I believe you might check. I don't know, again, if recall petitions is the same because it's a weird animal, but I think it is.
180 days. Okay.
I think it's state law, but I don't know.
But we're not proposing changing from whatever the current law is in terms of that.
And I think it's 277.
277.
It's 277.
Okay.
And it says the same as what's required for a quorum amendment. So
yeah. Okay. So it stays the same. Okay.
That chapter is petitions outside of the
outside.
That's right.
And that is unless there is further discussion, those were our two proposals that came out of our subcommittee.
Okay. Great.
I think it's great. And I do like not having the five persons, because if you can get one, there's no reason to have
Well, there's no reason to have five. You've got to come up with the signatures. So
well, I mean,
what does it matter?
Yeah. You can get four drunks to sign it. You know, your friends. So.
Well, the other alternative was to come up with some arbitrary number that was higher than five.
Yeah, and then
but
it
again,
doesn't make any sense either.
Exactly. I don't really understand where that came from, except I saw it, I think, in the Dallas charter maybe had it.
There was one other charter where it was
where it said you had to have five, and I could never figure out
like
the rationale for
it.
Yeah.
I think it's a vestige from that's carried forward from a long time ago that had to do with a petitioner's committee being formed. So
I don't really understand the rationale for it.
It's in the mists of time.
Because the trigger is the number of signatures you've got to get. So I don't really see why you have to have some number of people to get the process started.
Okay. back to the digital drunkenness.
Yeah, I guess it is.
To the group before we move on? Good, thanks very much.
Well, thanks to Ingrid and Jeff. We had a couple of really good Austin Java meetings.
Okay, so do you want to give us an update, Brad, on when Frank is going to be here?
Yeah, Frank Rodriguez, who former AHP mayor and former budget director, had some personal things. He will be here next Monday, and I'll try to get him to send out the report as soon as he finishes it. And I think he only needs about 10 minutes laid out, and then questions, and I think we'll get it done. People like, you know, and it's basically to give some resources to the council so that they can better understand the ins and outs of the budget process.
Thanks. So the next issue is the retirement benefits for city council members. So this was an issue that Fred raised at the last meeting, and I took a look at it, and there may be a conflict with state law. I think that that charter provision actually might come from the pension plan in the code. And so I've reached out to a pension lawyer friend of mine that does municipal work to kind of see if he can tell us what other cities or how other similarly sized cities have interpreted that provision, and I'll let you guys know.
And if there's a workaround?
Yeah. I don't know if there is, there may not be.
Oh,
but there is posted. And the next item, JK, do you have a presentation for us on the staff recommendations?
Very briefly, I'll speak on you. This is not, I realize this is not the most simple topic that you have. So I will refer you to this document, and I will be asking the commission for a vote allowing us to harmonize. I mean, we just try to, the last time we had any charter change was in 2012, and we didn't really harmonize. So there are many things that, you know, Cap C's on city council, Cap S on section, council member written as one word rather than a space between, some minor grammatical stuff, some punctuation stuff. So that's all really easy, and you can go through and look at it. I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. I mean, on page one, and by the by, these page numbers are not the page numbers of the code. They're only the page numbers of this document, just for ease of referral. When I struck Travis County, it's basically because we're in three counties now.
Yes.
So even though that's not a punctuation or grammatical, it's going...
As the District 6 representative, I appreciate
it. It's going to be.
I came down from Williams.
Yeah, it's inaccurate.
And if you'll go to page 12, on section 12, meetings of the council, this isn't strictly a harmonization, but that's outdated language to say spread upon the minutes. And so we, if the commission doesn't mind, we actually have had calls to the clerk's office saying, what does that mean? That would be nice to change. And then if you'll go back to page 9, these are a couple of things that I regard as being more substantive, which I would like to recommend to the commission.
What page is that?
Page 9.
9.
At the very bottom where it says section 4 transition, and then on page 10, you'll see that we're asking for this entire section to be struck. The transition to 10-1 is complete,
right.
And the council terms and staggering council terms have already taken place. If that's left in, it is going to conflict with, on page 14, Article 3, Section 2, which I'll let you go to page 14. So Article 3, sorry, just a second. Article 3, Section 2. If you start reading this is the good stuff. What's happening now is, let's say it's a layperson and they're reading the charter, not just for reading pleasure, but they're actually looking for something. And they start reading and they get to this that says...
3-year term.
Yeah, a previous page, and it says, council terms are 3 years and the elections are in May and so forth. They believe that they have now gotten to the good stuff, and there's no reason to look any farther anticipating an inconsistency. So that's why we need to take out section 4. It just,
It was always intended to be a transition.
Correct.
Right.
But it didn't contain the language that says it falls out of the code when it's no longer applicable.
Since I wrote it, it's my mistake.
Yeah. So, well, it can fall out of the code.
Forgot.
And practically speaking, we wouldn't enforce it anyway.
I want to clean up my mess.
But it makes sense to take it out. So our recommendation would be
to take it out. Then I think you explained before the meeting why a paragraph 2A1 was not taken out, because I thought we're done with the transition.
Right. So let me get to that in.
Where are we on?
In just a moment.
2A1.
Well, let her go in whatever order you were going to go.
Okay. No, I mean we can definitely. Take
sorry,
that out.
I thought that's
all I wanted to find. So it does. So we're on page 14 and go to section 2. Page 14, Article 3, Section 2. And look at 2, I'm sorry, look at A1.
Right.
That says the council shall provide by ordinance for the transition from 3-year terms to 4-year terms. Okay. Initially,
there's an expiration in the
Initially, we were going to recommend that be taken out because most of it has already transpired. The 3-year terms, transition from 3-year to 4-year, we've already done the staggering. We've already had an ordinance that provides for drawing lots. Those were done. We had shortened council members' terms to accomplish the transition. But it says if a council member term is shortened by more than a year, which we do have incumbents that are on whose council terms were shortened by more than a year, that shortened term doesn't count as a term for purposes of Article 3, Section 5, which is term limits. So that still would have some applicability, and then it is going to fall off.
Once we deal with those
kinds of things. And I may have forgotten this, so I may get this wrong, but I believe that when we get the census, all the districts are going to be redrawn for 2022, and so we're going to have to stagger them again.
But that's what this
ICRC
says.
With council will do.
Right, so we will have to stagger them, continue to stagger them, right?
So I'm not recommending that this come out only because of the last provision.
So you're saying that there's a council member whose term was shortened by over a year because of the change?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people who drew the short straw the first time was Leslie.
Get a 2-year term.
Yeah.
Oh, all the people that had the 2-year term.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying
mm-hmm.
the 2-year terms
uh-huh.
don't count.
The,
okay.
yeah.
Can you just write part of A2A1? Like for council shall provide by ordinance for 4-year terms and for staggering the terms of council members?
We could do that. I was kind of trying to leave it in context just so that people would know what happened. You know, if they read that, they would realize that we had a transition.
I think until it no longer applies to anybody at all,
it's probably
better to leave it in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, but we just determine, I mean, it's always going to be up. Or every
Well, no, that's a different.
So maybe just the last sentence should go away. As it stands now, it's,
so what
we
happens,
can't get rid of it.
What happens to the incumbents and the term limits and all that when we have redistricting into the 2020?
But that doesn't necessarily mean that will change when they're elected.
Mm-hmm.
The districts are getting redrawn.
Yeah.
Right.
But we wouldn't necessarily mean that.
Let's say
if
a new
District
council
5 is
gets elected in 2020, and in 2022, his district has changed. Right? So.
But that doesn't necessarily mean the election date has to change.
Right. He's still the elected representative for the term that he was elected for from that district.
Well,
the election date's not going to change.
My memory is, isn't it? If you get elected in 2020, don't you only have a 2-year term?
Yeah.
We're on four-year terms now.
Transition is complete, we're on four-year terms.
So, okay.
All of those that had the two-year term.
But then.
I didn't like it that way, so they must have written it differently, because that make.
That's going to be a real issue.
We didn't redraw, we do not redraw all the lines in, for 2022.
No, we didn't, we redraw the lines.
You have, you can't draw some lines and not others.
Yeah, I think you've got to.
Think about it.
You have to.
Yeah, right.
They're all going to have to be redrawn, because the populations have.
No, that isn't the point. The point is, you're going to have people representing the same people, two people. Because there'll be overlaps on their districts and stuff, because some of them will, see, the way you usually think of it on the federal level, okay, they redraw the lines, and every district is redrawn. And then everybody runs, okay? But if not everybody runs, then.
It's like the state senate, because the state senate has everybody up when they redraw the state senate lines.
Exactly.
Have 2 years.
And I know I wrote it that way, but I don't know whatever happened.
So your point is that 2 year terms changes the total number of terms for the like total number of terms you can serve.
No, it's more like if you're 2020, if you're 2020, the five council members,
right,
and you have a 4 year term, then there'll be five council members in 2022 running from the new districts. And then it'll be two more years before we have the other one running for the new year. Well, you can, but it's really weird.
So this is.
Maybe we'll add this back into the charter.
No, but I think this is actually a bigger problem than. Because what happens if they completely redraw the lines?
Yeah, they will completely redraw the lines.
Yeah, and it'll affect every district.
So then you completely redraw the lines. What happens if you put two incumbents are in the same district?
Dead.
But then they're not up for re-election in 2020.
I just.
No, that's
exactly the problem.
Fred,
I didn't. No, I'm just saying. That's the reason I had all the lines redrawn when I wrote it in.
Well,
for
all
2022.
The lines are redrawn.
Well,
I know, but everybody was up for election.
And this happens every time we get
an after census.
So in 2020, all 11 members are going to be up for election?
No.
2022,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, not currently.
So what's going to happen in 2022?
If I understand what you were saying right, that the ones that were elected in 2018 will be up, the five council members, and then the remaining
ones
five will be up in 2024.
But that seems like that really fixes how you would be able to draw the lines. You'd have to draw the lines almost intended for those incumbents to stay in.
You can't freeze five districts and then.
Yeah.
Well, you can't draw them to affect the incumbents because it's prohibited by the law.
But wait a minute.
What's
the
have to have
redraw
the same population?
Them so radically that it makes a difference? The way I was imagining it is that the borders shift a little bit, so people who
just
might have been
where
they live.
The ICRC draws them, and they use the criteria that's in here to draw them, so it doesn't really.
I mean, ideally, you'd like to keep them, but it doesn't have to be that. I mean, if there's huge population shifts or whatever. I mean, I know the legislature did it intentionally to screw with the Democrats, but they put Ann and Glenn and Elliot all in the same district. I mean, sometimes they're just, and they massive shifts in the district.
I can think of Riverside.
Yeah.
You know, Riverside, that is, Southeast is going to change because instead of residents, we're going to have offices where we had apartments. Lots and lots and lots of apartments. Now we have campuses for Oracle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there are some districts that are going to change.
It's going
to
change for us.
I think
they've got rapid gentrification.
I mean, you can easily see
some
like Kathy and
Well, he starts to do because
growth
according
in
to Code Next in East Austin now, we're just going to have infertile people. And the school district too. Because they're closing down the schools because we have no more people coming out.
Actually, you're correct.
That's true.
The people moving over to East Austin are either not sending their kids to the public schools
or
not having children. Mm-hmm.
So I want to keep us on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I thought we were talking about public education.
Yeah. No.
I'm sorry.
This is actually a really big issue problem that I think might be worth
I agree.
Why? But
I'm wondering if we should maybe put it on an agenda, for an agenda of future discussion.
Is the only provision about the terms in section 2 on page 14?
The term limits.
Not the term limits, the terms.
The terms.
Staggering of the terms.
With the transition out,
yeah.
that we did, that is where, that is the appropriate part that you read what the terms of the council members are. The length of the terms of the council members, and that they serve staggered terms, and that as closely as possible you elect half of the council at each general election, which occurs in even numbered years.
Okay.
Every 2 years.
And that's not.
And you only want it, ideally, you only want it in one place, because you want the person to be able to.
I thought about it.
Because that was your intent, was that everybody would be up in 2022.
I wrote the transition language that way, and it was changed.
And as it is right now, is that it would not be.
But that's, I mean,
well,
that's also a nightmare, too. I'm not saying, I mean, every 10 years, we're going to have 11 people up for election.
Well, the only thing I'll say about that is, just as a basic premise, when this 10-1 was adopted as a charter amendment, you know, by a vote of the people, we, the city, is unable to change a word of what is, you know, either initiated
right.
by council itself or, you know, if it's a citizen-initiated petition or anything like that. So the language that you sometimes get in the charter is not always consistent, not terribly artful, and some of those things. But you know, when Fred is saying that he wrote it and it was changed, it wasn't changed by the city.
No, it was in the. There was an ordinance on the transition that was not this transition,
yeah,
there was ordinance
not the charter
language.
Language.
I know because yeah. because I wrote it and somebody unwrote it.
I
it wasn't the charter.
Right.
But that's irrelevant, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying.
Saying
I think that's an important
problem.
Thing
yeah.
that the commission needs
no,
to know.
I think it is.
Whatever you recommend.
Yeah. Probably need to look at having them all elected in
as you've
mentioned
the
census. Why don't we add this to the agenda.
Yeah.
We're going to take a look at the calendar after we get
right,
this
okay.
recommendation.
And then probably
we're going to
figure out
where
we posted it.
Is there anything else substantive?
Also, it's relevant to the voucher program. Because if the voucher program is giving you one voucher for your council member district that's up that cycle, every 10 years you're going to have a cycle where it's all 10 districts that are going to get a voucher plus. I don't know if the mayor
would be up in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be very expensive.
It's a lot more money.
So just there's
no,
that impact.
No, you're right. That's exactly correct.
So the last item, if you'll go to page 18, Article 4, Section 2.
I need to get back to California.
I'm going. I'm going to go ask you.
So it's power of referendum. And it currently says, which is adopted by the favorable votes of 5 or more council members, that is a vestige from when we had a 7-member council. So what that means is it required a 2/3 vote. So 5 of 7 is a 2/3 vote. So we would like for it to now say 8 of 11, keeping it consistent with a 2/3 vote.
Right. I see. That makes sense.
We used to have a 7-member council when this said requires 5. So in essence, what it was doing, well, in actuality, what it was doing was requiring a 2/3 vote. And if we still want it to require a 2/3 vote, which is what it says, then that would be 8 because we currently have an 11-member council.
It was 5 of 6, right?
It was 5 of 7.
5 of 7.
That's why I did this.
Oh,
this
right.
is what
5 of 7.
This is
sorry,
what
5 of 7.
Is on the number. So, 5 of 7.
It needs to be changed to something because 5's not a.
It needs to either be 8 or 9, basically.
Yeah.
Favorable.
If it's without going to the people, and that's what you have to do in a charter with a charter minimum election to see if they want to change it. If we just want to make it commensurate with what it said previously. What it said, without saying the words, was a 2/3 vote. It required 5 of 7, which is a 2/3 vote. If it's still going to stay a 2/3 vote, I need to change the number to 8, but not 9. Because a 2/3 vote is 8.
The closest
to 11.
I think you just answered my procedural question, which was if setting aside the issue that we were just talking about, if we, let's say all these are trivial corrections, that's the end of it? I mean, it's adopted by the commission without going to the vote?
No. It will be included in your recommendation to council to have a charter amendment, and all of this doesn't go on. There's language that says
technical cleanup.
For or against, do you approve of making, you know,
technical cleanup.
Clerical error, you know, clerical cleanup things. There's really standardized language for that, and it's one proposition.
But if we do address this thing about the 2022.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
That's
a new item.
Yeah.
That would be a new item.
And also check and see what everybody else is doing around the country, because that seems important.
Well, it seems like we ought to be electing from all the districts and do the staggered half get two and half get four terms again.
Which means that we need to read, probably at one point incorporate that language that was taken out.
So before we get back onto that topic, do we have a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Before you do that, there's.
Are you paying?
There may be, and I didn't get this to you, a couple references to language like his or her. And so we probably want to add that to replace his or her with.
Gender neutral.
Yeah, just neutral.
And so we're not doing anything to this, the part that we're debating right now.
No.
So I'll move to make all the changes.
Yeah, and also.
I think there is a little bit of additional language cleanup to be done. So I think maybe what we could pass is that we accept the staff recommendations up to today.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
And then if you wanted to pass along, if you had a couple of notes to pass along, and then we could just get a finalized, you know, harmonized provisions.
So we're essentially approving it with some, coming up with some additional things, as well as considering what to do with the terms after.
Right,
that wouldn't be including the harmonized separate.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just viewing this as.
No, you're right, that's all, that's cool. Because it is substantive, no matter what.
We've got the motion in the second.
So we have a motion in a second, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposing moving Travis King.
All right. We have our first recommendation. Thank you.
Can you imagine all the regulars up for reelection at the same time? It's just going to be pure. Those were the incumbents.
One did it.
That was pure madness, and that was horrible.
I should have been talking about schedule.
Let's look at the schedule.
Schedule madness.
I do think Martha, I've been.
Kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
Another draft.
Just like a religious special.
Well, I sent the credit up, and I've got comments on their next section.
Yeah, that's.
And so I think if our key works, we'll be ready.
Okay, so guys, can we talk about the calendar coming up? I'm just trying to go over what our February looks like.
She thinks she's dealing with her seven-year-old.
We're talking.
But anyway.
I'm used to working under the circumstances, right? Okay, so our next meeting is February 5th, and so we're going to have.
Frank.
We're going to have Frank here, and we're going to have continued discussion and proposed recommendations on the voucher.
No, the Independent Ethics Commission.
The Independent Ethics Commission.
Because Tanya, I think, came up and said, I think it's easier to do the.
Independent Ethics Commission.
And we said, good, and why don't we do the other one on the 12th?
Okay.
Or the 15th, or whatever you want.
So do we want to also add to the 5th the discussion about the, what to do with the 2022 election?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's fairly simple, actually.
I'll say this. Jeff's not going to be on the 5th, and I think he'd be really valuable for that conversation.
Okay.
We could.
We could do that on the 12th.
Bounce it to the 12th.
That works.
Okay.
I could make it if the airplane got, so.
Can we put it on the agenda if Jeff doesn't make it?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll put it on as an item.
Sure.
For the 5th or for the 12th?
No, that's fine. I'm happy to have another day as well.
Do we know when our council is coming?
Did Independent Ethics just get moved to the 12th?
I have to go to.
Independent Ethics is on the 5th.
Okay. Why do I also?
I'm real excited.
Oh, vote. So on the 12th, so after the 5th, our next meeting is going to be the 12th. I'm hoping that we'll be ready, and we'll see how the meeting goes next week, but I'm hoping we'll be ready for a vote on the Independent Ethics Commission on the 12th. And then we will continue, as well as a vote on the attorney recommendation.
On the 5th.
Recommendation.
On the 12th.
That'll be on the 12th.
The vote.
Oh, okay, because I thought we're going to do the Independent Ethics Commission on the 5th.
We're going to discuss and debate the Independent Ethics Commission on the 5th.
And then
plan to have a vote on the 12th.
Okay.
Does that work, or do we want to vote on the 5th?
No, the only reason I would, here's my suggestion for whatever you want. Consideration and possible vote, because if we're ready, we can vote it, and if we're not ready, we can bounce it. And the same with the city attorney thing, just because it all depends on how it goes.
I like that.
I have no problem. If people aren't ready, we won't vote, but you never know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the voucher.
I think we'll be ready on the 12th, but we'll give you a report next week.
Okay. So the 12th will be consideration and possible vote on the voucher program.
Okay.
The city.
Maybe the pension thing? Or do you
maybe the pension thing.
The vote.
And maybe Frank.
Good about how that's gonna.
Yeah, I heard you.
You also had on here about whether to add the budget.
Right, and so we'll hear from Frank on the 5th.
Okay.
And so why don't we, on the budget, vote
finish
on
the vote.
Right, so we can say consideration of budget transparency items and vote on whether to, potential vote on whether to request an expansion of our
right
of our ordinance or.
Sure.
Okay, and then our next meeting, we will not have a meeting the week of the 19th or 20th because we have the 19th as a holiday and then the 20th is a city council meeting. And so then our next meeting after the 12th will be on the 26th where hopefully we'll be ready for a final discussion and vote on the
referendum
and recall petitions.
I do have a question. Are we going to meet the Monday of spring break? I mean, I don't care.
It's March 12th.
No, it's March.
March 12th.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
We can.
I don't have any children, so it makes no difference to me. That are home, I should say.
I'm not in college anymore. So.
It's okay. I'm just asking. I mean, it used to be, it was a no-go for me, but that's fine.
Okay.
We'll just have to figure out how we're going to get downtown during South by Southwest, but that's a different problem.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, if we would rather move the meeting on the 12th to a different day,
I
could do that, but I think we already have this room reserved.
No, I'm okay. I just raise it if somebody has to go out of town.
Monday night is not usually that big a deal. It's later.
No.
It gets crazy.
Yeah.
But they will do event parking and a lot. It's going to be cool.
If you guys let us know that they're doing event parking on the 12th or that parking's going to be an issue, will you just give us a heads up?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll have meetings February 5th,
12th,
and 26th. And then in March, do we have things set yet?
We don't have anything set. And, we had considered March 5th as kind of our, cleanup meeting if we needed to kind of have a meeting to finalize some of our recommendations, but I think we're hoping that we will get all the votes done in February, and then we can do public meetings in March and get our final report finalized. We'll have to have another meeting at some point.
That's nice, though. It's like, I think that's great.
But this is all aspirational.
It's nice.
Yeah.
See how it
goes. Yeah. We haven't debated anything yet.
Right. We have to do a vote on the cleanup stuff. From today.
We did.
Okay.
We were in
favor.
I
just
want to make sure I was.
We made
it's like being
it was
a ship, you know, you got it, so.
It was unanimous.
Yeah.
Okay, does anyone else have any?
Were you intoxicated?
anything else?
I have travel on the
15th. Okay.
And I have been unable to change my flight earlier. Sorry. But I should be at all the other
things.
And my committee meetings. I haven't missed a single.
No, you have not.
Yeah, I haven't missed any committee meetings.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Big fun.
Give me a 30-second outline of what the park is going to talk about.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. And I don't remember the details, but they.